This is Steve Sherlock with another in a series of podcasts for Franklin Matters. This is number 39-6, the dash 6 referring to part 6 of the town hall forum conducted by Governor Deval Patrick at the Franklin Senior Center on Sunday, May 17th. This particular segment continues with the Q&A section. Bill from Franklin talks about education funding from property taxes as a broken system. Other comments touch on the regionalization issue. Representative Valley chimes in on the property tax relief, commending the governor for being a strong advocate for this. And Governor Patrick concedes we're over-reliant on property taxes to support local government and highlights his three proposals for additional revenue, one being the gas tax, two, the hotel and meals tax, and three, removal of the exemption on the telephone poll tax or utility poll tax. One example he also provides on the regionalization, which he finds so hard for us here in New England to do, is we have over 200 911 centers in Mass. California, a far bigger state, has only 4. Their response time is the same or better than ours, yet we have 200. Regionalization here in New England can be a third rail. And Governor Patrick is right in saying we have to figure out how to combine things. So here we go.
Number 5.
Good afternoon, Governor. My name is Bill. I'm here in Franklin. And I'm following up on one of the bullets that you had up there earlier about what should the government be doing or not. And I'm of the opinion that the education system is seriously broken from the perspective of it's funded primarily through local property taxes. So as squeeze gets on, the one place that voters can go and say, I'm not raising my taxes, is in the override situation with 2.5. And they said, no, I'm not going to vote to raise my own taxes. I have no control of the federal, no control of the state, no control of the sales taxes that I pay. The one place that I'm not going to shoot myself in the foot is local. And so, consequently, the schools are forced to make do, with less. And you don't have a level playing field. Students in Franklin deserve the same education as the students in Wellesley or the richer towns. At the same token, other towns that aren't as well off as Franklin, their students deserve the same education as the students in Franklin can. So funding it through the local property tax is just a broken system. So I'm of the belief that the state, the government, needs to be a top-down system where the kids are all getting the same amount of money spent regardless of what city or town that you live in.
It's a really interesting point. I think something has to change.
Is it Bill?
Yes.
So, how many people agree with Bill?
Yeah.
How many people differ? Why?
I don't think that the problem is the same in every town, and I don't think dollars are symbolic. They're practical. And so, yes, we should be making sure everybody has a growing opportunity in terms of education. But I think when we start fighting over the balance and rivaling one community against the other, I'm inclined to agree with part of your argument, but I think when we set up communities as rivals for one another for funding and saying that it has to be level for a playing field kind of situation, I think we're misconceiving it. Because the needs are different in different places. So the cost of meeting those needs are going to be different. That's where I differ.
Bill, I would. Did anyone else want to be heard on this point?
I totally agree with Bill. I think one of the things that you ran on was property tax relief, as I remember. And I also think that there could be a lot of economies of scale, and it may also be a way to force people to look at a more regional school system. I saw something in the paper about contrasting the number of school systems in Mass versus Maryland. And so if money came from the state as opposed to property tax to fund all these local school districts, there's a way to level the playing field and to make sure every student gets a good education in the Commonwealth, and also that there may be some savings. So I think it's a wonderful idea.
It's a.
Thank you. Just want to say that you can't fault the governor for the economy collapsing. We would probably may have gotten the property tax relief, but for the fact of what we saw today. So I don't think we can fault the governor for that. I know he's still a strong advocate for property tax relief. On the education issue, education reform, which was a court case, did actually say that every student in Massachusetts is entitled to an education, and an education that isn't disproportionate in Lawrence as it is in Franklin. So unfortunately, we were sued for that to come to fruition. And what that did is it forced the legislature, back before I arrived there, to actually have to work and pass an education reform bill. And what that did was set a benchmark, a floor, to say that every community had to spend a certain level of foundation. And then, because we do have 351 cities and towns, and because they are sovereign in some respect with regard to education, in regard to school committees and city councils and selectmen, because people want local control over their education, people in Massachusetts, I'm not so sure that everyone would want to give that up. There is a floor, and then every community can spend above that if they wish. So every community makes a choice. Do we want to actually spend more on education or less? In Franklin, we're blessed with a tremendous amount of Chapter 70 money, and we're very fortunate for that. And our educational system in this community is less reliant on property tax as it is on state revenue. Now, we had a massive deficit. We have a very unique program in Massachusetts called the School Building Assistance Program, where many other states don't build schools. Local communities do, or states, local communities build their own schools. In Massachusetts, we built schools in partnership with communities and spent a lot of money to do so. And we ran up a huge deficit. And in order to actually figure out a way out of that deficit, it was much, billions and billions of dollars. It was big as a big dig. We actually dedicated a penny on the sales tax to that program. It was a dedicated revenue stream. So I guess this is something that I've been very much engaged in. I agree with you. Local property taxes are not a great way to fund education. There has to be some consensus amongst people having local control that want local control and not having the state come in and say, this is the way you have to educate your children. But relying on the property tax, it defeats the purpose over time. So we've decided that we're going to build schools based on a state revenue stream, at least the portion that the state spends. So we're already dipped our toe in that water, and I think as we continue to move forward, we'll probably look at other revenue streams in order to fund education, just as the governor has highlighted a dedicated revenue stream to fix roads and bridges, which I think is a very good idea. So I didn't mean to steal your thunder, Governor, but I think it's something that we're engaged and we're working on, and I know the governor does want to bring property tax relief really back to the communities.
Bill, did you want to add?
Yeah, just really quick.
I just want to come back to it.
Okay. I grew up in Boston. I went to school in Boston, and when I went to school, there was a problem, and the problem in Boston was not all schools were created equal, and some schools got funding, and other schools didn't, and so one of the things that should have been done was to fix the school, to bring everybody up to a good level. What was done was we took some of the kids that were in this bad school and we shipped them to the good school. But then we took some of the kids from the good school and put them in the bad school. We didn't fix anything. We redistributed who got, gypped, let's say. So that would be a fundamentally bad school. I do agree with you. You don't want to pit communities against each other, but that's what's happening today. Is you go up there and lobby, and the communities are pitted against each other because, well, from my perspective, my less informed perspective is it's not a level playing field. There's not a very good benchmark. So I don't want to believe it.
We have been working on this with a slightly different approach than the one I think you're proposing. First of all, the Chapter 70 funding, which is the state support for public schools, is a supplement to property taxes. So my own view is that we are over-reliant on property taxes in Massachusetts as a way to pay for public services. That's why there's so much pressure to raise property taxes and do overrides. And the problem with that it seems to me, is not that people being asked to contribute, but that you may be, you know, you're dealing with seniors who may not have much money, but their property is valuable, or people on fixed income or out of work, as the case may be. So the proposals around the meals and lodging, or the telecom exemption, or frankly the casino proposal, was all about, you know, go ahead and hiss, was all about trying to get some other resources to cities and towns to take the pressure off the property tax, right? So that's and three of those proposals were on this list, as you saw, the meals and the lodging and the telecom. The broader question about whether fundamentally we ought to have sort of a state takeover. I'm exaggerating to make your point.
Restructuring.
A couple of things that we are trying to do, and they are remarkably sensitive here in the Commonwealth. I mean, on this point about regionalization, you wouldn't believe we have over 200. And regionalization is not just limited to education, by the way. We have over 200 911 centers in Massachusetts. How many do you think the state of California has? Four. California, big state. Four 911 centers. Their response time is as good or better than ours. We have well over 200. The conversation about regionalizing local services runs smack into a deep tradition in Massachusetts of local control and local cities and towns. In fact, we've had, I don't know if you guys have been dealing with this, but there's some towns where just trying to get regions within the town, you know, to consolidate a couple of school districts within the town is drama. But we're at a place, this is why I believe that in any crisis there's an opportunity. We're at a point now where you have to think, if you're a municipal government, you have to think about this. You have to. There's no way around it. You have to figure out how to combine things. At the level of the state colleges and universities, they are working on collective purchasing plans. So how do they do collective purchasing of energy, paperclips, that sort of thing, instead of just doing it, you know, campus by campus? Aren't there some savings they can get by aggregating this sort of thing? And that same approach, I think, you have to bring to municipal and state services. So that's a way at getting at this. We haven't gone quite as far as you're recommending. Let's see what we can do with these other steps.
We don't want to end up with towns that are seniors only because they can't afford to pay.
No, I understand. So you were five, right?
I was.
Six.
This podcast has been a public service provided to my fellow citizens of Franklin, Mass. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.blogspot.com. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The musical intro and closing is from the PodSafe Music Network, featuring John Schmidt, powerful, exhilarating piano music. I hope you enjoy.